that we agreed I'd co-chair on Tuesdays and she'd co-chair on Thursdays?
Hello?
Thanks.
Is that better? Senator Brown and I are co-chairing, and to repeat myself, I will co-chair on or chair the meetings on Tuesdays, and she will co-chair on Thursdays. And I don't know about Senator Brown, but I like to start my meetings promptly. So that's a notice to everybody that might appear before us. And with that, I was going to do committee introductions right now, but I think I'll wait till the rest of the committee's here. Or we may introduce us ourselves, and then we'll go on with the other members. So, Senator Brown, why don't you go ahead?
Thanks. Just wanted to say welcome and look forward to an interesting and challenging session and working with Senator Clarno on this committee. I think as is not usually the case, I think when people are co-chairing, what we've agreed to do is that if either one of us decide to have a hearing and a work session on a bill, then that bill will have a hearing and a work session. The bill would still need a majority vote from the committee to go to the Senate floor. So just giving you some information and issuing you all a challenge. So it should be a great session. And we will take nominations for planning the committee party shortly.
And I nominate Tony.
Pardon?
Tony.
You nominate Tony to
plan the party?
Senator Atkinson, would you like to go next? Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Senator Jason Atkinson from Molalla, and I'm a tree farmer. No, I'm happy to be here. I've always served on the Rules Committee. It's always been one of my favorite committees, so I'm happy to be here also.
Thank you, and welcome. Senator Corcoran.
What are we, just introducing ourselves?
Just introducing ourselves.
Okay. My name is Bill Sizemore. My name is Tony Corcoran. I'm State Senator from Cottage Grove, and I last served on Rules when Senator Clarno was Speaker of the House in 1995, and we had a rock and rolling committee. Want me to tell you one of the funny stories that happened on that committee?
Not if it has to do with me, I'd rather. Well,
it doesn't. No, it has to do with Bill Markham.
Okay.
You know, Representative Markham was getting fairly up there in years and was sort of losing his hearing.
It's all a matter of perspective now, Tony.
And as often happens with people that are losing their hearing, he talked very loud. So one time, another freshman representative named Brian Johnson came in to propose a bill. And the bill would have eliminated any partisan references to the Oregon legislature. So it was make it a nonpartisan legislature. And Brian got done, and there was this polite silence. And I think Lynn Lundquist was chair. He says, any questions? No questions. And Brian starts to walk out of the room. And he leans all the way over. Markham leans over to me. I'm about 3 feet away. He goes, should we shoot this dog now or wait till he leaves the room? So I'm happy to be on the committee.
Thank you for sharing. We
yes.
appreciate that. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Senator Beyer. I do something with public relations in Jacksonville, last I recall. Anyway, I've served on the Rules Committee in 99 in the House. Happy to be here. Executive appointment will be a new issue for me. So let's go. Let's rock and roll.
Okay, let's go.
And I got some Markham stories too, but you can't tell them that it's company.
I know something. That's the one I thought I could tell.
Okay, thank you, committee members, and I appreciate you being here and being ready to go. Jim, do you want to go over the adoption of the committee rules and
yes,
other things?
Members, Jim Stenbridge, the committee administrator, distributed rules to your office. I have extra copies if people would like to look at them.
Has everybody had a chance to look at
them? Down that way. Let me just review just briefly a couple of things. Rule number one says a quorum is comprised of a majority. That would be the half of the members plus one, so that equals four. So four members is a majority. Maybe see the word majority. We're talking about four members. You'll see reference to chair, and the chair reference means the presiding chair. We're going to be alternating chairs, as the co-chairs pointed out, and that's what that means. On the second page, there is a number nine. It talks about minutes. We are not doing, if you were expecting to get word-for-word transcription to send to somebody, we will not be doing that. But the meeting recording is available on the Internet when we listen to it live or any time later. Plus, we have tapes that are available to listen to or for sale over in the committee records office. Those are the things that I wanted to point out. You have 14 rules, so there's just two pages. Standard rules for all the committees.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I would just point out the same as I will in all of the committees I'm on. I don't think number 9 actually reflects what we are doing this session, but Judy and everyone has been made aware of that, and they want to keep the rule standard, but we're not transcribing minutes, but this is adopted anyway.
Chair Carno, if I might mention, it does in previous rules that you may have seen, it would say a reflection of all the items discussed, and you won't find that in here. So that's, we intend to include all these things in the what we're calling a tape log, but it would not be a transcription of what is stated.
Well, the testimony. Point out, Madam Chair, the second line says that transcribed to give a true reflection of the matters discussed. It does still say that in the rules. And that's the part I thought should have been changed, but let's move forward.
Anyone else have a comment? Thank you, Senator Beyer, for pointing that out, because we do want to be sure we're as accurate as we possibly can be. Senator Brown?
Would you like a motion?
Yes, I would, please.
I would move we approve the committee rules as set forth in the draft dated 1/21/03.
Senator Brown has moved that we adopt the committee rules as set out. Any objection? Not so moved. Now I'll open a public hearing on executive appointments and work. We'll open a work session.
Yeah, work session. Yeah.
Senator Burdick, we all introduced ourselves. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Thank you, Senator Carno. I'm very sorry to be late. I got tied up in Judiciary Committee. I'm Ginny Burdick, and I represent District 18 in Portland and Tigard.
Judish meets in the morning.
Pardon?
So Judish meets in the morning.
No, I'm doing bills.
Oh.
I'm a very devoted vice chair, as I will be here.
Thank you very much.
And I would hope she would explain the comment about being tied up in Judiciary. That sounds rather kinky to me.
And we'll do that off the record later.
Thank you.
Okay, Jim.
First on your agenda is the governor's appointment of Martin Brantley to the director of the Economic and Community Development Department.
Okay. Mr. Brantley, would you please come forward? Do you have anything you'd like to share with us? And then if there's any questions of the committee, we'll have them ask.
I have been an Oregon resident for 27 years and have been involved in the television business for 25 of those 27 years, but involved in public service and other aspects of the Portland Development Commission and other types of things, too. So I look forward to chatting with you and answering any questions you might have.
Thank you, and thank you for being here today, too.
You're welcome.
Are there any questions of Mr. Brantley, please? Senator Corcoran?
Mr. Brantley, have you read your agency's EEOC documents with regard to the, let me see how it's worded in the Oregon Revised Statutes, basically your program for affirmative action?
Yes, I have.
And what did you find in that in terms of compliance?
Well, I found the intent of that compliance to be not any different, quite frankly, or very little different from the requirements of the television industry as regulated by the federal government. We had to, on the television side, regularly report what those EEO hiring practices were and comply with those. We used to review those on a quarterly basis all the way through. So I understand the importance of those and wholly support those. I don't find any problem at all.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Senator Brown.
Mr. Brantley, could you talk about what you see as your role in this job and what you see as the department's role in terms of economic development in the state?
Mm-hmm. First of all, the way that I see the job is it's for the entire state of Oregon, Senator, not just one particular geographical region. It is important for everybody to participate in the prosperity of the state. Number two, at this particular point, I think that the jobs component is one of the most important things that we can do to start to align the department into the area of creating jobs for all Oregonians. That there are hopefully some short-term challenges and some long-term challenges, and every district will be very different, quite frankly. But that is one of the filters that I see that comes with the job. The second filter that I think is extremely important is the accountability side. I think that we need to tighten up on some of that accountability side and start at the budgeting process all the way through to the final execution side, and to make sure that the programs we have are doing the things that we all want them to do. So those are the two filters right now. The community solutions, extremely important. The reach out to make sure that all Oregonians are included in that. All those are very important, too. I don't mean to say that they aren't. But as a preface, as I said, you know, all of Oregon is important.
Any further questions? Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Chairman. What changes are we likely to see in the department under your leadership?
Senator, you know, being rather new to it right now, there are four, if you will, areas of relationships that I'm just kind of digging into. One is the relationship within the department itself. Where are we, what has worked well, and what needs to be tweaking a little bit, if you will. And I would say that I'm feeling about three-quarters of the way through that process. I think that the idea of going more towards the jobs is important. It's not to neglect the community solution side of things, but jobs, I think, is very important. I don't think any of us are happy with a 7.1 unemployment rate and leading the nation in that. And I think that affects a lot of different areas, too. So, but I'm just beginning to you know, kind of get comfortable, if you will, with the department, the structure, what it does, how it does it, and sensitive to the criticisms of that, too. Number two is a relationship with you all, extremely important. And again, I'm just beginning that process of knowing who you are, what your suggestions are, and how to make things better, too. And that takes time also. The constituency also, in my opinion, includes all of Oregon. So getting out to all the areas of Oregon is time-consuming but necessary and very important, too. So, again, starting that process of trying to reach out to all of Oregon and booking in the speeches, the trips, the knowledge base that is really important to get to all of Oregon. And then lastly, it is a relationship with the governor's office and where the governor's legislation is going, what we want to do, what we're going to be supporting, and how to align, if you will, the filters that I talked about before. So to me, there's four major groups there that all have to come together in order to align things. I'm not trying to dodge the question, but I'm in different stages of the analysis of each one of those, and I think that again, the jobs component and accountability and hitting all of Oregon are three of the important things that you might find from this department. I don't know if that's different from the past. My sense is that that had been done before, but perhaps a slightly different emphasis.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you. Could you outline for the committee your strategy, short-term, long-term, and where you'd like to take the department,
I'll try to, Senator, as long as I can modify it as we go through the process here. But I think that, first of all, you have to identify where the problems are. And the problems are different in different areas of the state. So short-term, I think that the lack of available land for industrial sites is an important one. Rules and regulations is an important one that we have to address also. I think, again, to acknowledge the differences of the state and how to get jobs going in different areas and play to their strengths is extremely important, and we've got to do that too. Specifically, you know, I will go out on a limb a little bit and think that tourism is a very important one also. I think we have to make the Lufthansa connection that's coming from Europe into the Portland area, and it'll help the whole state work. If it doesn't, I think that sends a real black eye to us all the way through. And so the different components of making that work in tourism and the financing of tourism is pretty important also.
questions? Senator Atkinson?
Before, we were both walking in here together because we were talking about three things that I didn't hear you list off, but we were discussing my district. Issues are very important, loans, connectability. We also were talking about the importance of international trade, which is a function of this job. So I just want to make sure that those stay on the front burner, especially as you go and figure out exactly what planet you've landed on and signing up for this tour of duty, and also lay out your goals.
And I'm sorry, lay out the goals on the international?
Lay out your next goals as you move forward.
On international trade, that's another area that I'm just kind of getting into in terms of the structure of the international trade. But clearly, with the number of people we have in Oregon and the economy base, we have to export. You know, we are an exporting state, and we have to acknowledge that, and we have to do those things that are necessary in order to continue to export. It's a close relationship with the port. It's a close relationship with the suppliers of that export, and that, and again, includes the entire state. I think that there is a trip afoot to Europe, probably in the fall, to make sure that the Lufthansa connection is an important one. On April 4th, the Lufthansa people and the German press are all coming over here, and again, that's an important one too. I think there's also a tentative plan to go to Asia and to reinforce the work that previous administrations have done in terms of Asian and the Asian connection too. So. International trade is important. We have to understand that we have to export in order to be financially successful as a state. So those things that are necessary in order to do that are right there at the front.
Okay. No further questions. I just have a comment. A couple of years ago during the last session, there were some of us, including Senator Yee, who's not here now, but and Representative Betsy Johnson, who served on the committee that on the Ways and Means Committee that was doing the economic and community development budget. And I would just say that we identified over 200 statutes that this body has mandated to economic development. As you begin your duties and look at your job, if you can identify any of those that we've done that are burdensome, no one ever comes to us to undo anything. They have us do these things, and then they end up making the agency go through lots of hoops that are not necessary sometimes. So if you'd look at that and let us know if there's something we can help you in that way.
Thank you. I this last weekend went through the 114 pages of suggestions by the legislative body of what we should be doing, and I'd be happy to do that too. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Nothing further. I'll close the public hearing and open a work session on the executive appointment as the Director of the Economic and Community Development Department. Senator Brown.
I move that the Senate confirm the appointment of Martin Brantley as the Director of
Economic Development.
Economic and Community Development Department.
Senator Brown has moved that we confirm the appointment of Martin Brantley as the Director of the Economic and Community Development Department. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, so moved. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next is Corey Streisinger.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is for the Director, Department of Consumer and Business Services Committee.
Okay, would you like to make a statement as to why you would like this appointment?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I grew up in Eugene. I've been an Oregonian most of my life, moved to the state at the age of 4. Most of my adult life has been spent in Portland, and as I think you know, I'm a lawyer by background. In private practice, my field was commercial and securities litigation, which first brought me into contact with some of the issues and areas handled by what is now the Department of Consumer and Business Services. I spent 4 years on Governor Goldschmidt's staff and then 10 years at the Port of Portland, which has the attributes of both a large government agency, not that dissimilar in size to DCBS, but also has the attributes of any large private enterprise. The port is heavily involved in construction, has a lot of business enterprises, is, of course, a large employer. And so in that capacity, and I was general counsel and also a member of the senior management team at the port, I came in contact with a number of the other areas that DCBS handles, but from the point of view of a regulated party, so to speak, dealing with the agency on building codes issues and workers' comp issues. I'm very much looking forward to being at DCBS. I think the agency's mission is particularly important in these times. The agency's mission is to protect and serve Oregon's workers and consumers while also supporting a positive business climate for the state. In my view, those are not opposites. They are not alternatives. The goal of the agency is to do both, and I think we need to do both, and I'm looking forward to helping be part of that.
Thank you. Questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Burdick.
Thank you. One of the things that we talked about was streamlining, the importance of streamlining government, and I wondered if you had any initial thoughts on that. I know you're just coming in, but what role you want to have in that function and what some of your ideas are.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Burdick, I'm actually very enthused to be involved in that project, which is one of Governor Kulongoski's priorities. This agency is, I think, particularly well-suited to be engaged in a regulatory streamlining process. There are a lot of initiatives currently underway in the department and more that can be done. For example, in the building codes area, that it often comes up on people's lists when the issue of regulatory streamlining arises. Smart permitting, electronic permitting, is an initiative that I'm very interested in seeing move forward. The agency, I think, can do a lot in terms of customer service through use of technology. Areas such as electronic filings, allowing the submission of data electronically that can then be used for multiple purposes. So those are areas which, although I haven't been on the job very long, I think have already come forward within this agency as ones that deserve attention, and I'm hoping to get further involved in other areas as well.
Senator Brown, then Senator Corcoran.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Could you talk to us about, assuming you get this job, your plans for the agency to increase and maintain a diverse workforce?
Yes, Senator, Madam Chair, Senator Brown, I've actually I met with the head of our personnel department this morning to ask for a report on workforce diversity, which is a challenge in this particular agency. Increasing workforce diversity has been identified as a goal within the agency and is something I want to continue to focus on. The agency serves people of with different ethnic and language backgrounds. One of the major focuses has been to ensure that staff are available throughout the agency to interact, for example, with injured workers or with people having insurance disputes in their own languages and on a cross-functional basis. So, for example, if somebody with a particular language needs to contact one division and we have someone who's fluent in that language in another division, the agency will facilitate that on a cross-division basis. So there is some creative thought that's been given and work that's been done. I believe there is a pay supplement based on use of multiple languages. The agency also is the home of the Office of Minority and Women and Emerging Small Business Certification, and ensuring that that office functions smoothly is also an area I want to focus on. So I don't have the personnel director's report back on how we're doing today, but it is something that has already come up and that I do want to make sure we continue to work on.
Senator Corcoran?
Oh, that was my question.
Any further questions? If not, I would just ask you as well if there's things within your agency once you get there that you've identified that probably are things that maybe we put in place some time ago that it seemed good at the time but no longer necessary, let us know.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
That'd be like worker health and safety issues.
We'll close the public hearing and open a work session on the executive appointment. Senator Brown.
Thank you. I move that the Senate confirm the appointment of Corey Streisinger as Director of Department of Consumer and Business Services.
Senator Brown has moved that we approve the appointment of Corey Streisinger, Director of Department of Consumer and Business Services. Any objection? Not so moved. Open a public hearing on executive appointment. Jean Thorne, Director, Department of Human Services.
Thank People are weird to me opposed. We don't have that kind of money down in Cottage Grove. I bet with every benefit he's in Cottage Grove doesn't have that many times.
He's helpless. I mean, he's hopeless.
Both.
You're right. Helpless. I'm hopeless.
Good afternoon, Jean. Would you like to make a statement and get us on course here?
Do you have a diamond birthday? I don't see a diamond birthday.
Certainly, Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'm native Oregon born and raised, spent my entire life in Oregon. Actually came to work in the director's office of what was then the Department of Human Resources fresh out of undergraduate school in 1976. I have said I was 12 at the time, but have actually been in and out of the Department of Human Services over my entire career in state government. Also worked in the Budget and Management Division as a budget analyst, worked in what was then the Workers' Compensation Department, worked in the Mental Health Division within the Department of Human Resources, spent 8 years as the State Medicaid Director within the Department of Human Resources, served as acting director of the department for the first 6 months of 1995 in Governor Kitzhaber's administration, spent the last 7 years in Governor Kitzhaber's office, the last five working in education as his education advisor. Came back to the department in October for what I thought was going to be a few months acting as the Medicaid director, hadn't exactly anticipated moving into this role. I would just say it's been interesting over the years of having been both inside the department and in other agencies of state government and looking in from the outside of seeing the linkages and or potential linkages that could occur. I think, you know, having worked in education as well as the education advisor, kind of my background is one that I enjoy working and find fulfillment in working with programs that affect people's lives. And certainly the Department of Human Services affects hundreds of thousands of Oregonians' lives and affects our communities. People have asked me why I would want to be director at this time. I would just say it's probably the biggest career challenge I can ever imagine. People come to, in most cases, come to the Department of Human Services because they care about vulnerable people. And given the reductions that we're going through now, it's extremely hard. It's hard on obviously on those who are having the services reduced or eliminated. It's hard on the staff who are dealing with that. And I think it's important that as an agency, we figure out along with you how to get through this. How do we, in dealing with vulnerable people, try to blunt the worst of the possible reductions? Those are very, very difficult choices and very difficult challenges right now. I believe we've got a workforce, and we have 9,500 people within the department and tens of thousands of people outside the department who, with whom we contract either through counties or as providers, who together serve our clients. And I think people who do that really care about the individuals and that they're serving. So it is a time of challenge. As I've said to staff, it's always more fulfilling and rewarding when you are building programs and offering something to someone who may in the past not have been able to have that before. And certainly in the work I've done on the Oregon Health Plan, I felt that. But our job also is to figure out how to deal with these issues and these programs in these very difficult times. So I have to say that I certainly look forward to working with you and all of your colleagues as we try to work through some very difficult issues over the coming months in regards to services to vulnerable people.
Thank you, Jean. Any questions? Senator Corker.
Ms. Thorne, I have a couple of concerns. I don't know if there's so much questions as concerns. I guess one question would be I believe there's a lot of skepticism on both sides of the aisle in the legislature over the reorganization that took place in your agency. I have some specific concerns about child welfare as it pertains to that. I've shared that with your legislative liaison, and I'm going to be pursuing that. But under the general view And I actually don't say this as a public employee representative. I say it as a legislator because I heard more about it in a legislative context than in talking to the rank and file workers, although I've talked to them as well. I'm very concerned that reorganization was smoke and mirrors, and that that the agency continues to have a span of control problem. I support the notion of one-stop shopping. Anybody that sees how welfare recipients lead their lives understands that it's crazy to make them go all around town for services. So I'm not opposed to the notion of doing that, but I have some very, very strong concerns about the bureaucratic top-heaviness of the agency, the fact that policy and the field seem to have been separated to the point of ineffectiveness and possibly leaving us open to some real liability issues, again, especially in Child Protective Services. So I guess I don't have so much of a question as just to say right out of the chute that's something that I'm going to ask our Ways and Means folks to look at very closely and to, to hold Governor Kulongoski to his position on government efficiency.
And Madam Chair and Senator Corcoran, actually, if I could respond to some of that. I have to say, from having been outside the department and having worked in a whole different issue area, I was not terribly aware of what was happening in the Department of Human Services in regards to reorganization until I came back in October. And frankly, I share many of your concerns. I am concerned that we've put, first of all, service integration is not the same as reorganization. I think the idea of better integrating services so you don't have conflicting case plans makes sense. One-stop shopping makes sense. How you get there, though, I think we need to look at and re-examine. We, no matter how you move the boxes around, and when I first saw this reorganization chart, I said, well, I think that was our 1989 plan. However you move them around, there is no easy way, there's no perfect answer to this, of how you have a more efficient and more effective service delivery system, and how you have a more efficient and effective functional administrative service or administrative services of the department. I was also concerned that employees have been discouraged from raising concerns with aspects of the reorganization. I'm concerned about not having sufficient linkages, perhaps, between our field and our policy offices. Last week I did make some management changes so that I asked Ramona Foley, who is the assistant director over Children, Adults, and Families, which is the policy shop for child welfare and self-sufficiency services, to take on for the next 6 months, also being the assistant director over our field. And our field, Community Human Services, is primarily the former AFS, SCF, and Voc Rehab, and some pieces of seniors and disability services. And specifically, what I asked her to be charged with is to look at how do we better link not only between children, adults, and families in our field, but also the other policy offices. In the end, we may want to merge at least two of the policy and the field offices, but I'm also not ready to jump into those kinds of changes. I've sat down individually with almost all of the cabinet now, and now I'm looking at how we can expand the circle of looking at what's gone well with reorganization. What have we found that's working well? We need to keep moving forward and consolidate our gains. What could work well, but maybe we need some decision-making processes in place or better communication processes. And where do we need to fundamentally rethink where we're going? And part of that, frankly, the programs that we come out of this session with, I mean, the budget is much reduced. And what we end up with coming out of this session may also influence what the organization of our department needs to look at. What I've really been trying to emphasize to staff over the last two almost 3 weeks now that I've been there, is we have some very serious work on our plates the next several months with program reductions. We need to be focused on the work at hand and not let reorganization get in our way. We need to look at long-term, how can we better integrate services, but it can't be something that's consuming to people. And so I will just say that I think we need to have a relook. I don't want to go back to the 7 divisions and 3 program offices or however many we had, but I do think we've moved pretty fast on this reorganization. I hadn't realized how quickly. And we need to, as we move out of old infrastructure, we need to make sure the new infrastructure is in place so we don't have things falling between the cracks, such as between a policy shop and the field operations.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Senator Atkinson.
This is a statement in general. I have not talked to you yet or your VAs on it. Not a week goes by that, since I've served in the House and now in the Senate, that I do not get at least one, sometimes two a week, constituent calls dealing with child welfare issues. Everything from foster parents to some of the senior and disabled services, but mostly around children. In Southern Oregon, parents groups are organizing because they do not, people are so fed up with how they interact with Salem that they feel like they have no other options. In fact, some parents groups are telling new parents who are getting involved in the state, go hire a lawyer, it'll be quicker than dealing with the agency. I mean, you'll just, if you're going to court anyway, going to go to an administrative hearing anyway, so just rush there because it's going to be quicker than waiting on sales. So I represent the part of Oregon that has lost a lot of faith with the reorg. And I just say that as a statement because I have to go back with whoever gets this job to my district and report that yes, things are either going to be the same or going to be different, and if so, different. How so? And you've just listed off a few people who you've moved around who, you know what, have not given me very good service as a senator in the last 2 years. And I think I am expressing a little bit of heartburn that I wish we could have talked about beforehand about this. There's a whole list of issues I'm not going to make all my colleagues sit through here. But I'm feeling that that there's some larger issues here that I don't just want to see things continue on as just because it's government or just because it's how things are always done or just because it's the reorganization of the week. I mean, these are real people with real issues. These are real families with real kids that are oftentimes broken up for reasons that I don't understand as their senator. Certainly I'm not an expert in this field, but I certainly empathize. And I guess to join with Senator Corcoran, I've had some employees of yours, of the departments, talk to me off the record about their concerns. Completely off the record, and I'll, you know, which is fine. I mean, but over my dissatisfaction has been I haven't been able to help these people in the last 2 years, whether they've been employees with some issues or families with some issues. And I come today with all these things, and it looks like, I don't know if you got around to all the members of the committee about this appointment, but if this is kind of a bad way for us to start, in my opinion. So I say that as a statement and a frustration, and I don't know if you, I don't think you have to respond to that, but that's where I'm coming from.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Actually, I do.
Senator Brown.
Senator Atkins, just for your information, I practiced juvenile court for 6 years. I'm happy to talk with you about any of those cases. My experience with juvenile court is that our caseworkers have too many cases and are completely and totally overloaded, and their supervisors are not able to adequately supervise the caseloads that they have. That's just been my experience in Multnomah County. That may be different elsewhere, but I see it very much a resource issue. I'm also extremely concerned about the level of care that our children receive in foster care.
I am concerned. I think we are a lawsuit waiting to happen in our child protective arena. That aside, Ms. Thorne, I know you have a lot of experience in state government. Could you talk to us about what you see as your role in terms of hiring a diverse workforce? I know it's a huge issue in state government, and could you talk about your plans in working to change that?
Certainly, Madam Chair and Senator Brown. I think that it's interesting in the department. We have a workforce, first of all, that I think over 70% of our workforce is female. But yet the percentage of females in upper management has been fairly low. So hopefully we're making some changes. I was actually kind of surprised given the background of the agency. And I was there at the agency a few years after it was created. It was created in 1972, that there has not been a female director before, which is kind of interesting given given our workforce and given whom we serve. We have currently, of our workforce, people of color, we are at 14%, and persons with disabilities at 5%, which is actually better than I think most state agencies. But having said that, given who our clientele are, we need to have a workforce that better reflects the makeup of those we are serving. I think the department has made a number of efforts over the past few years in trying to, with those staff who are present in the department, increase their sensitivity to cultural and other types of differences through various training and other kinds of mechanisms. As we are dealing with we have shrinking workforce, we need to be sensitive to the issues around diversity. And so I do think, though, that as we have opportunities to do recruitment, we need to see what we can do to increase, even though, again, as compared with other agencies, we're doing quite well, but given our client makeup, that we need to do better. And certainly it will be something that we'll be looking at, and that we will want to also continue to focus on for all staff. How can they be more culturally competent? How can they be more sensitive to the differences that people may bring as they come in for services?
Any other questions? If not, we'll close the public hearing and open a work session. Senator Brown?
Sure. I move that the Senate confirm the appointment of Jean Thorne as Director of Department of Human Services.
Senator Brown has moved the executive appointment of Jean Thorne for the Director of Department of Human Services be approved. Any objection? Senator Atkins objects. Any objection other than Senator Atkinson? Not. So moved. Open a public hearing on the appointment of Gary Weeks, Director of Department of Administrative Services. Welcome back to Oregon, Gary.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. It's great to be back after 2 years. It's a difficult time, but I think it's also a good time, a time of opportunity, and it's really good to be back.
Good. I remember you when I first came into the legislative process, and it's nice to have you back. Do you want to make just a little statement, a short statement about your...
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
Plans.
I mean, some of you as members I've known for a long time after 28 years in government, and I was remarking to Jean, it felt kind of funny thinking about following Corey Streisinger and Jean Thorne, because in 1991, February of 1991, I sat in front of this committee to be confirmed as the Director of the Department of Insurance and Finance, which when I was there, I later renamed the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And then in 1995, I sat in front of this committee to be confirmed as the Director of the Department of Human Services. So it seemed strange to watch two other people up here for jobs that I've held. And some of you know I was the director of two other agencies in this past 28 years, one with the Department of Administrative Services. So this is, I guess, my second tour of duty as the head of Department of Administrative Services, and then I was with the lottery for 6 months and stuff as director of that agency, too. So I'd like to think I bring a lot of experience to the job. I've had the good fortune of being able to serve the state in several positions, and actually this is my ninth Senate confirmation. The other four were all for boards and commissions and so on like that. So it's been a good career that I've been able to enjoy with this body here and with the executive branch under four different governors, and I'm excited about being back here once again. The governor has, as you may know, has actually sort of conceived of this job in a different way and describes it as the Director of State Government Operations and DAS, sort of two titled position. And his real interest is having someone that he can hold responsible for the performance of state government. He describes it as his chief operating officer for state government. And the DAS director has historically had some of that authority vested in the position, although it's never been clear. It was sort of the boss or bosses, you know, as the agency heads go. But the governor really wants to make it a little clearer that there is somebody that he and the legislature can hold accountable for the performance of government, and we're very interested in working on this, on the performance initiatives. I mean, I think all of you may have heard him speak already about the performance agreements we're going to have with individual agency heads, which we're working on now, and I expect to have the first ones done probably by the early part of February. Those will be, I hesitate to call them a contract because I don't think we want to establish contractual rights with agency heads, but they will be performance expectations that will set out for agency heads. These are the things that you are expected to do in your job. These are the things you're going to be accountable for. And having served in several capacities as an agency head, I can tell you there were a couple of times where I wish I had something like that from the governor, because there were times where I felt I was administering an agency and I wasn't quite sure exactly where the governor was on things. So that's a part of my job, and the second part, which is related, is to try to get with every agency a performance mandate for an agency as a whole. So you have an individual mandate on the administrator and then a performance mandate on the agency itself, which will describe the goals of the agency and how those are measured. And to make this less of an inside baseball game, it's where it's just state agencies, the governor's interest and my interest is in bringing people from outside of government in as we develop those performance goals for agencies. So if we're working on the goals for transportation, we have people that outside of government who deal with transportation as businessmen and women, as users of transportation services, who will help us say, yes, these are the right goals, or no, they're not. And if they are the right goals, are they being measured in the right way? And I think what we want to talk about it when we look at performance is not so much the measurement of performance, but performance management, which is once you've measured things, you know, how does it change the way you conduct your business, the way you serve your clients, and so on. So the job, you know, and then there's the regular work of DAS, Madam Chair, and members of the committee also, that I'm responsible for. But the governor sees it as a little bit broader, and I wanted to make you aware of that. So that's a longer statement I should have made, probably, Madam Chair.
Oh, that's fine. It's very interesting. Thank you. Questions of the committee? Senator Atkinson.
How accessible are you going to be to the Senate?
Pardon me, Senator?
How accessible are you going to be?
I'm going to be very accessible. I think I have been throughout my career accessible. I've sat in caucuses with members in all the jobs I've had. I've met individually with members frequently. I mean, that's part of my job after 28 years. That's a part of the job, frankly, that I enjoy. I like working with the legislature.
It's an obvious question, and I don't mean to just ask you something that's trivial, but I think it's very important. If you're going to go out and set up performance standards for agency heads, I think the communication element of your job is probably the most important. I think all of us, from a variety of political persuasions that are here, had great communications with the last person to hold your job. Mr. Greenfield was great, or whatever his last acronym was. His ability to get things done from the Senate or the House, in that matter, and get them done quickly, very bipartisanly, very satisfactory to all of us, is very important. And I think that in everyone's rush with the new governor and with new agency heads, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the Senate wants to start over and start fresh and to have a new connection with this job. So being accessible is very important to me, and I think perhaps implied, but needs to be stated with all the other members.
Yeah, Senator, I understand, and I just want to assure you. I mean, I've had the good fortune of being able to work with many of the members of this committee, and have tried to be accessible, as, and will continue to do that because that's the way I think I do my work best. So I appreciate the question, sir.
Very good comment, Senator Atkinson. Thank you. Any further questions? Not close the public hearing and open a work session on executive appointment. Senator Brown.
I move that the Senate confirm the appointment of Gary Weeks as Director of Department of Administrative Services.
Senator Brown has moved the appointment of Gary Weeks, Director of the Department of Administrative Services. Any objections? If not, so ordered. So moved. Mr. Committee Administrator,
Madam Co-Chair, Co-Chair Carno and Co-Chair Brown, I just want to introduce our committee support person, Pam Cox. She's doing a good job over there as a computer. And I believe that's all you have on your agenda.
Welcome, Pam. We'll try to be very considerate of you, and I'm sorry if I bang the gavel too loud. With that, are we meeting Thursday?
Well, we need to check with Brown.
Okay.
We have 7 bills in committee. We have no executive appointments pending. There might be some committee bills that you'd like to introduce. There's a whole range of things. There's no compelling reason to meet on Thursday.
Otherwise,
you want to wait all over you until you don't know what you're talking about.
The committee is adjourned until next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Thank you, committee members.
At some point,
thank you very much.
Certainly.
Good job.
Are you supervising us?
Yes.
It's tough to get ready here.
I'm sure somebody will let you know if they don't like it.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you a heads up that I had to run all the crap. I want a diverse workforce. I want.